fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And today we're going to talk about something, you know, I on these shows we deal with all matter of supernatural questions, ghosts, UFOs, cryptid creatures. But the one topic that interests me the most, as I said many times, is that of the afterlife, because it is absolutely universal. We're all going to have to answer that question for ourselves and for our loved ones. So I think it is truly the universal subject, and we're going to have a great conversation today with Wendy Willow. She is the author of a recent book, Silver Butterfly Wings, Signs from the Other Side, Offering Comfort and Hope After Death of a Loved One. And Wendy is a great person to write a book like this because she's steeped in spirituality. She's an intuitive palm reader, numerologist, speaker, and published writer who has given readings at various psychic and alternate health fairs across Canada and the United States. She's been a contributing writer to Ever-Changing Magazine and the Journal of Alternative Therapies. Her articles have appeared in various publications across North America, including Purple Pagan and Waxing and Waning magazines. And she has a long list of accomplishments, and she lives in Oklahoma, where she continues to follow her passions of writing from the heart, reading people, nature walks, and photography. You can find her website at WendyWillowAuthor.com. That's WendyWillowAuthor.com. Wendy Willow, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate being on your show.
Now, as I understand it, this book, while certainly your kind of life's work, you know, with palmistry and so forth, feeds into it, if I understand correctly, really kind of the precipitating piece of this is your own experience with your husband. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Tell us what happened.
Well, even though I was a palm reader and I was used to feeling into people's energies to give them a reading, I was doing numerology before that as well, and I was already involved in the spiritual world. However, signs from the other side, anybody crossing over and a spirit sending a sign to Earth, it didn't really click with me. I didn't really believe it. I was very skeptical. Now, when my husband passed away, everything changed because, I mean, he was a great love of my life, and all of a sudden he was gone. He was sick leading up to his passing, but after he did pass, I was just in so much pain, so much grief, as I'm sure a lot of people can understand. And the very first sign I received from him was all these feelings of love. It was incredible. I had gone through the process of his passing at the hospital. I'd gone home. I was lying in bed at night and I was just crying. And then all of a sudden, these waves and waves of love surrounded me, cocooned me. It's nothing that I'd ever felt before in this earthly life. So I knew it was coming from him. And I knew that he was reassuring me that he'd made it to the other side and all was well. So that was a huge opening for me, opening in terms of opening my mind. And after that, then all kinds of other signs appeared. The first one after that was actually the butterfly, which is why I wrote the book Silver Butterfly Wings. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but a butterfly is, according to ancient Chinese belief, it's a soul come back from the dead to reassure those left behind that all is well. But what happened to me was I was sitting on our back deck. It was summertime. And I was sitting looking at the empty chair, which is what you do. my husband was gone, and I was crying my eyes out. I just couldn't come to terms with this, couldn't wrap my head around the fact that he was never coming back. And then all of a sudden, I looked up. And it's like when you're walking somewhere or doing something and you sense that somebody is watching you. And I could sense there was something. So I looked up, and on the chair, his chair, was this butterfly that I'd never seen before in our area. And it was so gentle and so still and so serene, I just stopped completely. It was almost like a little shock to my system. And then I heard in my head his voice, my husband's voice, saying, "Do not stand at my grave and weep." And I thought, oh my goodness, is that really coming from my husband, my late husband? And then, of course, I went in the house and I researched butterflies and I found out that, yes, it is a soul from the dead come back to reassure us. So that really started my journey. And yeah.
Now, I was just going to say that really resonates with me about the butterfly, because I'll tell you, you probably aren't aware of this, but I have a show called Campfire, Jim Harold's Campfire, which we've been doing for the last 13 years.
Yes.
And one of the very early and one of my very favorite stories was with a young woman, and I'll try to make this brief, who worked for a family. The family they had a car lot, I guess, a car dealership. And she went out to check the cars that morning, and she found a dead butterfly. And she started crying terribly, went in to see her mom, who was also at the office, couldn't figure out what was wrong. She was crying. She was sad. Got a call. Grandpa's been rushed to the hospital.
Oh.
Mom goes to take care of grandpa, but they don't think anything of it because this has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she goes to the hospital. Grandpa passes.
Oh.
So she locks up the place. She drives to get there, and she arrives. And I can't remember if she got to see him or not, but she passed. So he passed. So she went home, and she was very upset, and she was at home for a while, and then she just left. She said, "I have to drive somewhere." So she just started driving aimlessly in her car because she was so upset her grandpa died. They were so close.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she drove to this park that she doesn't remember where it was at. She'd never been there before. Sat down on a bench, and she was swarmed with tiger butterflies like the one that had been dead in that lot. Swarmed with them.
Yeah.
So when you said that story, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, it makes sense. That's the way I always interpreted it, but I didn't know that piece about the Chinese connection of that. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
And it's ancient. So it's not as if it's a brand new finding and people are just catching on. This is ancient. It's been around for years, centuries.
Now, I believe totally in signs from the other side. And I believe that I've had a couple of strange ones over the years. However, there are people out there that might say this, Wendy. They're going to say something like, "Wendy, I feel very sorry for you. It's a horrible, horrible loss and totally understandable. But somebody in your position, they are going to look at synchronicities. They're going to look at coincidences and they're going to connect the dots in their mind to make them feel better." Why, what would you say to somebody who would say that? And why are you convinced these are real communications from the other side?
Well, everyone has their own belief system. And if someone were to say that to me, I would say, well, it's just perhaps not something that you can accept at this time. But for me, it was the timing. Now, I don't think I fabricated anything because the signs come on unexpectedly. And it's generally when I was thinking about how am I going to survive, or, you know, an anniversary, what am I going to do without him? And like, actually, if you want to take that anniversary one, it was, I was babysitting. I was very fortunate to be able to babysit my grandchildren when I was going through the grief, because they boosted me up. They're young, they're innocent, they're vibrant. And when it was on our anniversary that I went into my daughter's home to babysit, and the other grandmother was there, we used to share the day. And everything seemed to be fine. She was rocking the baby, and the little girl was playing on the floor with her puzzle. And I walked in, and everything was quiet and serene. And so I sat down just to wait for a few minutes, and I was kind of hoping the grandmother would go because it was my turn to get in there. And all of a sudden, she started singing Tura Lura Lura. And I thought, oh, my God, that's the song that my husband's father used to sing to him. Now, what are the chances of that? So for me, that was a sign that he was telling me, yes, I know this is our anniversary and I'm with you. There was so many other signs. They're typical kitchen lights flickering off and on, which, you know, in the beginning, it was like eye rolling. Okay, yeah, I've heard that before. But it was only for a short period of time. It was the summer. And then it was, they were spontaneously were okay. Bed shaking in the night, that completely freaked me out. You know, I'm lying in bed completely alone in the house, no pets, no animals, and the bed shakes. Well, where does that come from? I felt him patting my shoulders and my hips, and that really got to me. I jumped out of bed, turned on the light. What's happening? And I've heard that from other people. I joined a widow's support group, and I heard other people saying the same thing, that they felt their husband or their wife, whatever, reaching out and touching them. Now, if this had not happened to me, then I would be as skeptical as the person that you were talking about just now. If someone came up to me and said, well, you're just doing this kind of thing, I would have felt that. But because it's happened to me, no, not at all. How can you manufacture somebody touching you? A smell. That's another thing. He used to smoke, my husband, and our home, I don't smoke. So it was completely smoke-free after he transitioned. Now, about 3 months down the road, all of a sudden, I'm walking into our little powder room bathroom, and it's cigarette smoke in there. Now, where did that come from? The windows were closed, but that's the room that he used to smoke in. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on with these signs, but it's always in the timing, and it's always unexpected.
That is great. I mean, that is just fantastic. And again, I want to be clear. I believed you all along, but my question is, that is a natural question. I'll give you another question. And okay. I've had this happen to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, my dad is 87 years old, and my mom's been gone now for, I can't believe it, but 9 years. So I'm pretty much his sole caregiver. My wife helps out, but I do most of it, the vast majority. And one day I was either going to his apartment, and I said, I hope I'm doing right by him. I hope, you know, because he doesn't like to go out a lot. So I try to convince him to go out, and he still won't, you know. But I said, I hope I'm doing everything I can for him. And it wasn't audible, but in my mind came a statement from my mom. And my mom had kind of a Southern accent, because it's not technically the South, but she was originally from West Virginia. And the statement that came to my mind was, you're doing a damn good job, Jimmy. And I thought, first, that is totally something my mom would say. I mean, that's the way she would say it and everything. But then I thought, come on, Jim, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your mind working. That's what you want to hear. That's just you telling yourself you're doing a good job. And that wasn't your mom. How do you discern if your person, even me, who believes? Mm-hmm. And again, I always say this on the show. If you look at me as if you're looking at a gas gauge and it's believer, non-believer, I'm 3/4 full. I don't believe in every single thing, but I believe there's a lot to a lot of this. So I come from a believer perspective. But even that, I'm second guessing myself. So when we receive these messages, how do we discern what's just wishful thinking and what's really something solid?
Well, I'm a very kinesthetic person, I feel. So going back to palm reading, I can't read a palm just looking at it or looking at a print, an ink print. I have to feel. So I feel the energy, I feel the person, and then whatever I am meant to tell that person, I generally feel it inside me, in my chest, usually the heart area, sometimes the gut. What else was I going to say? Ooh, I just lost it. Auras. I don't see auras. I don't see colors. I feel them, which sounds very strange, but that's who I am. So if you're trying to discern signs from the other side and you're not sure about it, what I would do is, okay, how strongly do I feel about this? It's like a gut reaction.
Right.
If it's not too strong, if it's wishy-washy, if it's, oh yeah, I'm making this up, whatever, then you probably could be. But if you feel beyond a shadow of a doubt, well, then you know. I don't think anybody has to convince anybody. In other words, if you have you talking to someone who doesn't believe, well, that's fine. That's right for them.
Right.
If you're trying to convince yourself, well, I would just keep an open mind and say, okay, maybe, maybe not. And then another sign will present itself, and that may be a stronger sign. Now, can I tell you what the strongest sign for me was that really...
Oh, please do. Please do.
Okay. Now, this was when my late husband was cremated, okay? I did not want to know when that was going to happen, adamantly. I didn't want that picture in my mind. But for some reason, my daughter called me. She thought I wanted to know, and she told me. Okay, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I thought, oh, no, I do not want to know that. Okay, whatever, it's meant to be. Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and this was like, what, about 4 days after he transitioned. I thought, okay, for some reason, I meant to know this. It's Tuesday, it's 10 o'clock. Let me go outside to an oak tree in my backyard that I almost felt was a conduit to the spirit world. I would do little rituals under there. I'd pour my husband's coffee under there because it's hard to disconnect. You know, even though he's not here in body, I was always talking to him. I always felt that he was around. So I went to the oak tree. I had some coffee for both of us. I poured his under the tree. I said a prayer. I thought about him. I was sending him good feelings. And I was almost like in a dream, like the outer world kind of was very hazy for a while. And then I got this picture of him and I holding hands, and he was going through the fire, and he was all right. And then a few minutes later, I guess it was, all of a sudden, I felt like I was sort of waking up, so to speak. I could hear car doors shutting and people, dogs barking and that kind of thing. So I said, okay, fine, this is over, this whatever. And I went in the house and I said, I guess I was supposed to be there. And it looks like everything's all right. You know, he made it through the fire and he's all right. So I'm going in the house a bit shaky. And all of a sudden the doorbell rings. I'm going, oh no, I do not want to speak to anybody. What am I going to do? So I looked through the door window. I have a little window on the door. I looked there. There was two men standing on the doorstep dressed up in suits. And I thought, oh no, are they from the city? Have I violated some city bylaw by lighting a candle under the tree? Like, I didn't know. I was confused. I was shaky. I just, you know, when someone dies, you don't feel like yourself for a long, long time.
Right.
Anyway, so I said, okay, well, I better open the door in case I've done something wrong. I opened the door and the two gentlemen said, well, good morning. We are Jehovah Witnesses. And I thought, oh dear. And one of them said, looked me right in the eye and said, hello, my name is David. And I lost it. I just cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And these poor guys are looking at each other. Ma'am, are you having a bad day? I said, I'm having a bad life. I said, my husband passed away. And I said, and his name was David. And at the end, I said, listen, don't ever die on your wife, which was a silly thing to say. But anyway, all that to say, there was confirmation. You know, it's the timing. What are the chances of two people, two Jehovah Witnesses standing at my doorstep, ringing the door right after that little ceremony and telling me his name was David? I mean, that still gives me goosebumps. And to me, that's all the confirmation I needed. From then on, I believed.
And one thing I want to say about this, and I think that it's important to point out, if somebody, let's say you would have written this book before this happened to you, let's say let's say that you had a little bit different viewpoint than you had going in. Let's say you were a believer of these afterlife communications and you're a public figure and you speak and so forth. So you decide, I'm going to write a book on it. And then you put out a great book that it's very thoughtful, erudite, all that good stuff. But you hadn't experienced it. I think the fact that you've experienced this speaks a lot more to the people who are going through it. In other words, if I were in that situation, and I've been in that situation with my mom, my uncle, my brother who passed away, you know, but not a spouse. It's a different thing. But if I were in that situation, there were two books on the shelf, I would grab the one from the person who had experienced it. So I think that's very powerful that that you've experienced it. What has been your interaction with people in a similar situation? What do they say when you talk about this subject?
Oh, my goodness. They are so relieved. That is the first emotion. It's like, oh, my God, you understand. Because some of them have been going through, you know, similar experiences, and they, you kind of think that there's something wrong with you, that you're not quite seeing things the right way. You're going crazy a little bit. And just to have someone reinforce that, no, you're not. Somebody told me about a tree shedding its blossoms at the wrong season. It was fall or something, and all these beautiful apple blossoms were pouring all over them, and different things like that. Somebody else had found a Christmas decoration just sitting in their living room when it was summer or something like that. All these different things. And they think, well, what's wrong with me? Am I going crazy? You know, and just to talk to someone that has been through it and is understanding, it gives them a great sense of comfort. And that's the primary reason I wrote this book, is to help others in this situation. And to, because through these signs and so on, I believe that our loved ones are still there, and they are telling us that it's okay. They're okay. They're in a different realm, a different level, and they're fine. And just don't spend your life grieving, because that's not what life is all about.
Something that I would think would be particularly difficult is, let's say you're very open to the idea of signs. Mm-hmm. You're hoping for a sign, but no sign appears, or at least none that you have been able to suss out.
Yeah.
What would you say to people like that? Because I'm sure you hear from people who say, Wendy, I'd love to have a sign. How can I get a sign? So,
oh, yes.
I'll ask you, what do those people do? What do you say to them?
Yes, I feel sorry for them. I feel, because they're trying and they're trying and they're trying. And I know a few people have said the same thing. Well, how come I don't get a sign from him or her? And I wanted one, and so on. And I understand that, but you can't force spirit. It's got to be when you're ready. And some, now I don't know about different, excuse me, my voice is going to, where spirits actually end up. I just feel they're in a complete realm of love. And when it's right for them, they will communicate with the people here on earth. But I would also say to somebody, and this is what I've told many people, is just keep an open mind. Don't think of it. Don't focus on it. Just keep an open mind. When you see something that reminds you of your loved one, then perhaps it's a sign, perhaps it's not. But just meditate or think about it, or just accept it. I think that's the right word. Just accept the signs that you're getting, and eventually it will click that they are signs. And if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a visitation, if you don't have anything for a while, then you have to let it be. Shift your focus. And eventually, when the timing is right, then you'll find one. You'll get one.
Now, a wise person said, and I don't know who it was, but I always thought it was pretty on point, the idea that when you're in a relationship with someone, whether it's a parent, a child, a spouse, whatever it might be, because one person dies does not mean that relationship ends. It changes, but it does not end. So I'll ask you, do you consider yourself to still have a relationship with your husband, and how would you describe it?
Oh, yes, I would, definitely, because I really don't feel that energy dies, and we're all made up of energy. As you say, he's in a different realm. People that have passed on and transitioned, they're completely in a different realm, and that doesn't mean the relationship ends. I believe love is actually the bridge connecting the two worlds. And for me, because I've received signs, oh, and words pop into my head like they did for you with your mom. Words that he would have normally said to me, that pops into my head. So I believe that there's no disconnection, really, and that the relationship continues on. Now, this is 12 years later, And I have moved on to another relationship. I didn't write about it in the book because it hadn't happened then. It's only been very recent that I've remarried. And my husband is completely open with the fact that I'm still connecting with my late husband. And that's just fine. We have a different relationship now that he's in a different realm, but the love is still there and the connection is still there.
Well, that's just a great story. That's a great story. And I think this is such a crucial thing because we all, on one level or another, deal with loss. Mm-hmm. And it's just part of the human condition. It's sad, but there's also, I guess, there's, you know, it sounds so cliche, but the whole thing, don't cry because it's over, cry because it happened. And it's not really over, I guess, is the point. But I mean, it's trite, and it's especially trite when, as in your story, where you were sitting there in that hospital room, you know, that's, if somebody would have said that to you, probably would have felt like slapping them, and understandably so.
Right.
But I think with the distance of time, a little of that comes in, a little bit of the, yeah, that's just so sad what happened. However, what a great relationship that we still have, and what a great thing to happen in my life.
That's very true, and it does take time, and that's another cliche that people don't want to hear. Time will heal, and in the beginning you say, no, it will not heal. It's just taking us further and further away. But as time does move on and you do accept where you are, you accept what's happened, you accept that they're in another realm, a different place, then yes, you can celebrate the relationship the way it was and the way it's transitioned. So I agree with you there.
And some of this might be a recap, but if you had any final words for somebody who's dealing with a very powerful loss right now, they're listening and this has happened, perhaps it's recently, perhaps it's years ago, what would you say to them?
I would say just keep your love alive. Keep rituals are good, like lighting candles or doing things that you've done together. For us, it was coffee. We would do our coffee, you know, every morning or every evening or whatever the situation was. And so I kept a coffee ritual. And so I would say, yes, little things that remind you of that person during the day, keep your love alive. And when I say be open, what I mean about that is not to force and not to try and not to look for signs. Be open to whatever comes to you. And I guess that's about all I can think of.
Well, it's been a great conversation. The book is Silver Butterfly Wings, Signs from the Other Side, Offering Comfort and Hope After Death of a Loved One. Wendy Willow, thank you for joining us today. And I'm assuming people can find it in Amazon and wherever books are sold?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, Google Play, Kobo, Kindle. If you go onto my webpage, wendywillowauthor.com, then click on the book, you'll find all kinds of places where you can buy it.
Wendy, thank you for joining us today.
And thank you very much, Jim.
And thank you for joining us today on the program. And if you've undergoing a loss, our hearts go out to you, but know your loved one lives on. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.